Welcome to the Stanley Street Social Podcast, proudly presented by MAP. Before we get underway, if you could all hit subscribe on however you consume your podcasts, whether it's on iTunes, Spotify, whatever it is, hit subscribe. It's going to go a long way to helping us grow. If you could also like the content on our socials, give us a follow, even share this content on your own social platform, it will go a really long way to helping us grow. So thanks for listening to the podcast, and we really hope you enjoy this episode. We're back at MAP HQ, unpacking stage 5 of the Tour Down Under. I'm here with Patrick Shaw, and oh my days, is there a bit to get through today, Pat?
Yes, there's going to be a lot to unpack, and there's a fair bit of emotion in it, I think, but we'll get to that as we go through. And yeah, it's. I would say that so much has happened, but just the wrong stuff, the stuff you don't want to happen. But yeah, it started off with a little breakaway.
Yeah, we saw Jason Lee. We thought that it was going to happen. He was going to try and get away. He went away with Tuvi and Chevier from Asia Duar. And they just made it. They made it to the top of the KOM. Aiden Tuvi did a few peels, and then...
In fairness, the secret recipe of Jason Lee getting the King of the Mountains points, yeah, all right, fairness. You give Tuvia a pat on the back, but he's his teammate. You expect that.
Of course.
Chevrier, I mean, well, he was almost excited for Jason Lee, wasn't he? And I rate that. I rate a bit of, I don't know, what do you call it?
Is it almost like respect?
Humility in the peloton. Like I think he actually might have thought, you know, you deserve this. Yeah. You've worked hard for it. I put a tweet out there. I think you should give him a beer or 10 after that, because that was unreal. And but great to see that stuff in the peloton. I mean, these are the stories we like to see along the way. They're not the headlines of the tour. They're not going to be even close, but it should go recognised. But they only survived by 7 seconds, so they just got there. But it's enough. He's got 30 points now. Goes tomorrow. He's still
14 points clear.
Still probably needs to secure some points first time around.
Yeah, he will.
May win it if he doesn't make the break, but he'll make the break. He's a determined young man, and he deserves it. He really does. Yep, and hats off so far to UniSA for, you know, continuing to try and assist him in search for that jersey.
It all kind of played out the way that we expected. We were talking yesterday about what Mitchelton were going to do. And after saying it, I thought, well, maybe they're not going to commit all their resources to keeping it together for so long. But they did. They brought it back just over the top of the KOM, and they kept it together for the first intermediate sprint. And they took maximum points, but Bevan was also there, and he was second, so it was only a 1 second increase for Impey. But I think just full credit has to go to Mitchelton for actually taking the bull by the horns and keeping it together for, you know, just a chance to pick a second here and there.
I didn't see any other option, any other way to play out. Yesterday when the stage finished, it was 21 seconds for Bevan and 7 less than that for Darrell Impey, and it's not enough. It's definitely not enough. And so they had one thing they could do and one thing only, and that's roll the dice. They're not here to run second, let's be honest. Second will be great. The UCI points that go along with it, the World Tour points, should I say, are crucial coming into the classics, but they want to win the bike race. And that's what they did. So they took that first intermediate sprint, and then the second intermediate sprint wasn't much further down the road, so keep the boys on the front for another halfer. But Bevan got it right the second time around, and he took maximum points to reverse that 1 second differential back to 7 seconds, but increased it out to that 26 seconds to the peloton as such, 16 to Louis Leon Sanchez, and 26-26. That's a much more comfortable margin. But
it's only 6 seconds difference, but it's from where we were yesterday, it seems a lot more, doesn't it?
Well, for
just an extra buffer.
Well, for Bevan, 26 is enough. I still don't know if 19 is enough for Darrell Impey. I don't think this is... I don't think we're looking at it from that perspective. I think we're either looking at it that the podium will stay very close to it as it is, and the climbers from behind, say Bennett, Guerrero, Woods and Port, they'll improve their GC position or they'll win the tour. That's the way it'll work. So at this stage, I still don't think the amount of time that Impey has up his sleeve is quite enough just yet.
CCC had a pretty easy run up until this point, didn't they? They got that kind of that easy start to the stage that we expected, and they had to ride a little bit of tempo. But at the same time, there was a lot of teams jostling for position because there were a few crosswinds out there today, wasn't there? And a couple of times it legitimately split, but the road kind of turned into the wind in the wrong direction and it all came back together. But there was one time where Visma, they went to the front, properly split it, and you know, if it was another K or two in that direction, it could have been almost lights out for a few people.
Yeah, if it was even 1,500 metres longer, that would have set the tone. And then riders probably could have made it back before the next section, but they would have already been fully fatigued, and then they would have gone back out the back door. I mean, there was some real big players out of position when that split happened. There was only about 25 make the front group, which was Sky, Visma, and
Matty Heyman's always there, isn't he?
He was there, but I don't think none of his teammates were there. I don't think Impey made that split, no. And Bevan definitely didn't make that split. But we said straight away, this part of the course doesn't go long enough, and that's probably a bit of a mistake from their execution in putting in the gutter. But when they did it with conviction, and they slammed it into the gutter, and they did that first 30 seconds was a full gas sprint, and that's what you need.
It has to be, doesn't it? To really try and make it split. When you don't have much of an opportunity, you have to go like it's the last kilometre of the
race. And in fairness, it was the right time with the makeup of the peloton where the GC riders were. They caught basically all of them out, but it wasn't the right time on the course because the course was changing direction, and then once it changed to that, it went to a tailwind. Everyone came back together, and that was about 35 Ks to go, 30 Ks to go. So it was already well and truly on, but the next major event, 10.6 from the finish, I think it was, maybe even inside the 10. It was just outside the 10, I remember now, because when he was chasing back, it was the 10 K to go sign came up, but big crash. Riders off the side of the road. I think one bloke nearly ended in a tree.
Yeah.
It was just... And I don't really...
But it wasn't a point in the race. Yes, it was fast, but there wasn't... You know, it was a silly crash, wasn't it? It was in, probably 15 wheels back. The bunch was quite compact.
Yeah.
And race leader, Paddy Bevan, was the one who went down hardest. And when he was on the ground, I thought, he's not getting back on his bike here, but... His teammate De La Parte picked him up and pretty much said, get back on your bike at all costs and just start riding. Literally picked him up and bent the bike over and just kind of lifted his leg over and just said, get on and start riding. And can you imagine the adrenaline running through P. Bevan?
Well,
I've never seen anyone
in hindsight
struggle
now,
so much. Oh, my God.
In hindsight now, we can understand because we saw what then unfolded. But... That moment there where he's curled up, he was literally curled up. And we don't know if he wanted to get back on, but you and I, we've both had big crashes. You don't really want to get back on, do you? You're thinking, this is a traumatic experience. And why does it happen? Why does it happen to tour leaders? These major ones, they often happen to a rider that's in... a great position. And to see Paddy in that moment, for someone that knows him, it was difficult. And then his teammate De La Parte to pick him up off the ground, literally like stilts, like crutches, and just gave him no option.
Yes.
Just was, and the words, you'd love to hear the words coming through, he's probably just saying, you're right, you're good, you're right. He knows what they're creating this week, and particularly as a new branded team, not a new team, because they still are what was BMC. So still set the same setup, but it's just that emotion is the cool thing about sport, that part. Then he gets on and he's trying with everything just to...
It looks so hard.
He just wants to pull the leg over, and he's struggling at the start, but... knowing Paddy personally, he's just such a driven guy. He's just such a champion person. Like, he's just that guy that when he's in your team, he just brings more into the room. And then that's when it just, we're watching it and we're like, they gave the long shot on the footage on the TV. And I think we cursed a bit. We said that's a big gap. It must have been a minute 20 at that point.
The room went flat here, didn't it? Map HQ. Everyone just thought, oh no, he's.
Well, we've got a big moment here because it does.
Are you taking the piss?
It does seem that we have news. We haven't been confirmed, but provisionally, potentially, there has been a disqualification.
Good grief.
And the winner of the stage is Philippe Song. Philippe Song has taken the stage for UAE because of the headbutt in which has occurred on the barriers at 400 metres.
Well, that's what I said when we were watching. I'm like, this is exactly what Mark Renshaw
did
in the tour.
Well, I joked about it. I literally joked about it. You were like, are you serious? And I was like, no, I'm just joking. But it has happened. Caleb Ewan has been replaced on the leaderboard by Jasper Philipsen from UAE. What a turn up for the books. And, well, I mean, we've been talking about him all week.
You've like Philipsen all week. You said this filthy kind of run-in. He doesn't mind boxing on. He's born in 1998. He's first year professional, first week in the professional ranks, and he was going head-to-head with Caleb Ewan, headbutting. We'll get to this in a sec. We'll get to this finally. Let's just keep...
Big development, though.
We'll get back to Bevan. So, yeah, it was about a minute 20, wasn't it? And we thought, he's not getting back on. The room was flat here at Map HQ. No one wants to see that sort of stuff.
Full contribution from his teammates. For the team. They absolutely ripped it in. And they brought him... I mean, Chris Harper. Let's take Chris Harper, for example. People aren't going to know where I'm going here. But he had a puncher. I think it was 16 kilometres to go. This was a brilliant act of team camaraderie as well. Jason Lee, in the King of the Mountains jersey, immediately stopped, gives him his wheel. He gets back in. Now, 16 Ks. It's 6.5 kilometres later, the crash occurs. Paddy Bevan comes back through the convoy and catches Chris Harper at car four of the convoy. Car four of the convoy. So he's been chasing for how long? 8K? And he's in car four. Paddy Bevan, minute 20. He's at car four in 4K. 6Ks to go. He's at car four. He's trying to get on. The bloody commissaire has a barrage as long as the parade at bloody Australia Day Festival in St Kilda. And we're just cursing him. Oh, we're going, this bloody commissaire, what's with the barrage? And CCC team, whoever's driving that car, I mean,
it would have been Jackson Stewart there. It's either you close that gap or you're going to have a dent in the back of your vehicle.
That was another pivotal moment. He got Bevan on the back of the car and he just went like rogue. He's like, I'm going to rear end the Chief Gom if I have to. I don't care. And he slungshot Paddy Bevan into the bunch. He came into the bunch, entered it. His teammate was waiting on the left-hand side. I think it was Wukash Oswan, who's a great track cyclist, and he just piloted him as far as he could. And I know it's not something that we'll look at right this minute. It'll develop more as we find out about the injuries of Paddy. I think it looked like collarbone or ribs.
It didn't look good.
And his right knee had a severe abrasion. But he finished 44th, for crying out loud. He's on the ground 10Ks from the finish. And the peloton averaged around 65 to 70 kilometres an hour from that point.
Must have been doing 80, 85 for a good 4 or 5 kilometres. Yes, he was on the back of the car, but we're all human here. I think we can all have a little bit of forgiveness for some motor pacing. I think if anyone says, like, let's not have any of this, then I think they can, can leave. They can leave the sport.
Do you know
because
what?
I
know... The big issue is because when Nibali grabbed the bloody car and drove up the Giro when he was slung off the car, rode away from the peloton, that's a different scenario. He hasn't fallen. He's not laying there race over leader's jersey. And we must also put in here that the peloton did have a 1 kilometre...
They slowed up a bit. 1 kilometre full credit because they're in the last 10 kilometres.
Yeah, and they did, which is all they have to do. Nothing more. They did that. These people that see bike riders in the peloton getting on behind the cars, just so you're aware, they all do it. So no one's cheating at any given time. They're all, if you consider it cheating, they're all cheating at some stage.
Just to clear this up, if you get dropped and you come back on via the car, it's different.
If you puncture, crash, mechanical, that's what I'm suggesting.
Yes.
It's in those situations, it is the norm, it's the etiquette. okay, you don't milk it up a 10K berg. But in all due respect, Paddy Bevan wasn't sitting on the car wasting time. 44th in the stage. And, well, we wish him the absolute best. I mean, I've sent out a tweet. My heart's broken for the guy. I mean, I know him personally, and it's bloody... This was his week. I hope he's fine.
It's going to be touch and go, isn't it?
I still think if he takes the start line tomorrow, I tell you what, he's got a heart as big as a lion. I reckon he can still get the job done, but it's unfair to suggest or expect that after the events of today that have transpired for him.
This might sound like a little bit of a wild and emotionally fueled comment, but...
Go ahead, I'll look forward to it.
I think it's the most courageous thing I've ever seen in a bike race.
Yeah, yeah.
From where he was pinned on the ground, scooped off the ground by his teammate.
Hoogland comes to mind when he went into that barbed wire fence.
Sliced himself on the barbed wire.
Except Hoogland wasn't exactly the most, straightforward rider, but still.
But if, you know, if this story, you know, if we get more news about it, if he did have, you know, a serious break or something, then sure. If his collarbone's done, which he was holding it in a way that would suggest that it was snapped or broken in some way, to get through that, I don't think anyone that hasn't had a serious injury like that will never understand the pain that P. Bevan put himself through in that last 10K.
And in fairness, they weren't rolling along.
Like we said, he was doing 85K an hour.
Yeah, and taking the risks all the way to the finish. Last 2K, we always knew the run-in was going to be really wild. It always delivers in those technical finishes, three corners in the final kilometre and a half. And, well, the biffo was on, wasn't it? First it was Caleb on the UAE sprinter. No, it wasn't the UAE. It was Bauhaus that he fought with first, and he popped him straight out. It's like an inside, leave it open, boys, and coming in. And Philipsen, like stone cold, just followed the wheel. Then he got his opportunity. He wanted to take the wheel off Caleb. He chopped him. Caleb headbutted him back.
How good is this for a first-year pro going head-to-head like that with a... Caleb, he's the best sprinter
this is the
in
guy
the
that's,
peloton.
This Jasper Philipsen, he's the guy that smashed some poor bugger's Android phone the other day. Mind you, they shouldn't have had it hanging over the barriers. But he blew it to pieces. And I tell you what, he doesn't mind having a few words to say either. Well, he's just got his first ever World Tour victory.
Pat, I don't want to piss in your pocket. But all stage you were thinking, this is a good finish for Philipsen. It's filthy. It's technical. He doesn't mind boxing on. And he's just gone, yes, via a disqualification for CU, and he's gone and won his first World Tour stage.
And he did ride suspect, if you like, but he did it by the book. He did the old, my handlebars, they're in front of yours, Danny Van Poppel. Danny Van Poppel, I'm going to close the door on you, and then I'm coming at you, CU. And, you know, we're big fans of Caleb, you know, and we're excited to see him win. But also immediately turned to you and I said, hey, it's Jasper Philipps. He's the real deal. This guy's going to shake it up this year. And he is.
He's already shaking it up.
Yeah, he's got the victory.
What were you saying, the new Nasser Buhani?
Well, maybe he's
a little bit more polished.
Yeah, he knows where the lines are on the battlefield.
And Nasser does not so much.
No, he doesn't. Where is he these days? I don't think he's around anymore. But this kid, 20 years old, he's going to be a lot of fun.
I can't believe that Caleb's been DQ'd. That's just big news.
Yeah, it's huge news.
It's been updated as well. He is officially...
But it is also... We spoke about the Renshaw scenario. We've spoken about things. So it's not a huge surprise, but we didn't expect them to do it. That's the commissaire's decision. So they sit down as referees of the bike race as such, and they decide that the rules are you cannot headbutt a rider. That's pure and simply what it is. The same as they set that barrage, I'm sure that there'll be a fine for the CC team.
I reckon they were happy to pay whatever the fine was to bring... €50,000, we'll pay it.
No, yeah, it won't be that, but there could be 2,000 Swiss francs for not obeying, you know, the orders. Usually it's about 250, I think. 250 Swiss francs.
That's peanuts for the result.
In the whole scheme of things, I think they're emotionally probably as psyched up as us. And, well, you said it yesterday, it looks like a flat stage. Before the tour, it was a nothing stage. Yes. It was the day off for us. Yeah. It was the day you go for the long ride and you think, oh, I'll check the stats after the stage.
The final.
But how many times does it prevail? That stage is the one that makes a bit of wind up today, crosswinds. It always gets a bit scary. Yeah, we just got to wait and see what the analysis is on Paddy Bevin's injuries. He was upset after stage. He's not that type of person. He's not an aggressive natured. He's very calm, and he didn't want to be touched. He didn't want to be spoken to, and I think that sends a pretty strong message that there's some serious injuries there. In any case, he can be proud of the week that he's done. And now someone, if he doesn't start, someone will win this tour, albeit a little bit in the shadow that he probably was going to take it out.
Yeah. Let's just say everything's fine. He arrives to the start line tomorrow with no injuries, with a 26-second buffer to Richie and co. He should be enough.
He won the tour. He had the tour won. He did everything he had to today. We spoke about it yesterday, and I said, if Paddy Bevin, if you put yourself in his shoes, you went into tomorrow 5 seconds up on Impey, so Impey had have won that second intermediate sprint. We always assumed that Paddy would finish second to him if he did win both. He, in fact, kept it status quo, and, well, he would have won the tour. He may still win the tour in any regard. He's shown people well and truly what he's about. We also have mentioned, you and I, in general discussions, that through the peloton, he has immense amount of respect from the riders. It's just great that now that the cycling fraternity, the watchers,
public, yeah,
they now see what this guy's about. Yeah, that's cool.
So tomorrow, to a sense of Wollonga, there's going to be a bit of a fight for that early break, isn't there? Jason Lee, of course, is going to be wanting to be in it, but there's going to be other people. They're going to want a sniff of it as well. You think maybe Degent's going to want to sniff it out again.
Yeah.
Some other strong kind of riders, but first and foremost, Jason Lee, he needs to probably at least accumulate
some points. Some points. He needs to get some points. Don't be surprised if Visma go at it early tomorrow. Use Van Poppel along the flat before the first ascent. Try and get some GC riders out of position, first ascent. It's not long, the lap, so...
Always over the top. Over the top. When you go left over the top,
get the crosswind.
It's crosswind every year. Everyone gets caught out there because it's not super hard up Wollonga first time normally.
Yeah.
And then you go left, crosswinds, and every year it splits. Then it goes downhill, left again, downhill 100k an hour.
Tally.
Left again, and it's crosswind again. Yep. It's a super tricky circuit, and you need to be paying attention the whole time.
Yep, and the edges are not your standard inner city sealed. They're filthy. There's the cutaways. There's holes. And when you go off the road just outside of Wollonga, it's like the beach. Like, you go in the dirt, it's not dirt, it's sand. So you actually almost flip off. So you can't be like doing the whole, oh, just improve position down the outside, riding the dirt, like we've seen in some of the stages this week. It's going to be on. And they want to win. They all want to win. And by that I mean the GC riders. They all want to win this tour. The teams all want to win this tour. They've come prepared. I don't know what to say because Paddy Bevin should have won the tour.
Yeah. Scenario one, Paddy Bevin starts tomorrow, he wins.
Yep, scenario.
Scenario two, he doesn't start. Is it Daryl Impey or is it Richie Porte?
It's possibly Richie Porte. It's possibly Woods. It's possibly George Bennett. It's possibly Walt Powells.
You're writing off D. Impey.
I'm just saying. No, you're saying, what is there another option? I'm saying that I think they are still close enough to Impey. Because Impey's a further 7 behind. He's got 19 seconds. Take 10 off that for the stage win. One of those riders probably wins the stage, as I've just mentioned. Guerrero, maybe.
Your
from
favorite.
Behind. I mean, I like talking about these guys people aren't thinking about. You know, like, these are great riders, and they've been, he's ninth last year here.
Ryan Gibbons?
I don't know. What's he doing? He's flying at the moment, isn't he? So if they take the 10 seconds, they need 9 seconds of separation. The thing that plays in Impey's favour a little bit is I think these climbers are in such good nick at the moment, they're going to sort of cancel each other out. They stuff around and do the play it out for the stage victory because they don't think they can get enough time to win the GC.
Third dog will take the bone.
Well, yeah, and Impey can get back on and just enter DMP 5 seconds behind, rolls in, wins it by a handful of seconds. And if he wins, he's done everything right this week. It's not his fault Paddy Bevan crashed. Yeah, it's. I said at the start of the day, we'll get these time bonuses for these two riders, and tomorrow it's on for an epic finish to another Tour Down Under. I don't know how they do it every year. The parkour looks like nothing before it starts. The finish is always a ripper finish, and well, they've changed the final stage to Wollonga, and it's probably the best decision they've ever made.
So it's going to pay off in spades, I think, for the organisation.
Three votes, round one, Turda and co.
Patrick, it's been a pleasure unpacking with you. Tomorrow you're going to be shipping back to Melbourne, Ballarat, so we won't see you, but thanks for all your help this week. It's been an absolute pleasure. The feedback's been superb, so hopefully we can have you on again throughout the year, and all the best with whatever you're doing this year.
Nah, always cool to catch up.
Thanks again to Matt for all their help this week, and we'll see you tomorrow for what should be another exciting unpack on what's going to be an unknown tomorrow, whether P. Bevan starts. Let's hope he does. Let's hope he's fine and we can have a red-hot race tomorrow. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.